Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, football and volleyball opening up Sunbelt Conference play on the road this past week. Soccer was also on the road, and tennis had a busy weekend in Milwaukee. We'll talk about all that, but it's a big week ahead for A-State Athletics. A lot of good stuff to talk about there. The 50th reunion of the undefeated 1975 team, so we're marking the anniversary of that. And Friday night, it's also the Letter Winners Hall of Honor Banquet. Always a great event. Women's golfer Rebecca Sargent, women's basketball player Rudy Sims, former men's basketball coach Dickie Nutt, and former A-State football great Kelsey McCray will be inducted on Friday night. And Kelsey just happens to be our special guest today. How you doing, Kelsey?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you, and we were just thrilled when we heard that you were going to be inducted. And a few weeks ago, we had Taylor Stockamer in on the podcast, and Stock was telling us about that moment where he got to call you and tell you that you were going in to the Hall of Honor. So take me through that phone call. Were you surprised when he told you that you were going to be inducted into this special club?
I was. So he reached out to me, you know, early in the week and asked me if I had a free time to talk. And I said, yeah, give me a call after this time. And I didn't know what it was about. You know, I just kind of was thinking maybe he wanted to catch up. Maybe he wanted to see if, I don't know, I can get him tickets to a game or I don't know. I don't know what it was. So I still had his number locked in, but I haven't, you know, spoken to Stock in a few years. So when he called and he gave me the news, honestly, I was at a loss for words. I was super excited and I was humbled more than anything because I think this is probably one of the greatest and biggest accomplishments of my career. And also, I think it felt really good coming from him, getting that call from him, a former player. We were obviously on opposite sides of the ball, but men stock competed a lot. I knew when I was lined up across from him that I had to bring my A game, and I hope he felt the same. You know, some of that mentality, I think he carried on, you know, not only he, but, you know, a lot of those guys that was in that class, they carried on after we left. So, yeah, I was humbled by the news.
Anybody, you know, they're talking about when you get that call, oh, I was surprised. And as you said, humbled. And I believe it. But, you know, because you're in the grand scheme of things, you're a young man still with a, you know, lot going on in life and a husband and a father. So, like, has there ever been a point where you stopped and thought that was a possibility? Like, you ever even thought about going into the Hall of Honor here?
Honestly, I had not. That's a good question, man. I've never thought about it. And when he called me, that was the first time I even allowed myself to think that way. You know, because I was an okay player, but I think outside of, you know, the player I was, I think, you know, I gave a lot to that program. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about it, but the Arkansas State program, it's like, you know, I gave everything I had on the field and more so off the field. But that was just something that I never really allowed myself to think about until I got that call. And it was, you know, honestly, it was kind of emotional for me because this is, as you guys already know, but this is a sport that to make it to the professional level, you really kind of have to dedicate your life to. And that's what I did. I dedicated my life to the sport. And, you know, it feels good to be recognized for that, especially from Arkansas State, a school that gave me an opportunity coming out of high school.
For the record, we don't put OK players into the Hall of Honor. You're a little bit more than that.
It's not the Hall of OK.
Kind of want to go back a little bit and tell people your story that aren't familiar, but you came from Columbus, Georgia. You were a high school quarterback, right?
Yeah, so I was a high school quarterback. And back in those days, at least where I went to school at, most of the time, you know, coaches, they just put their best athletes at the skill positions. So quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and, you know, DBs and safe. So those were the best athletes. And in high school, you know, I was, you know, long and fast and all of these things. So they put me a quarterback and it worked out. But I knew early on that that wasn't the position that, you know, I was going to play in college. I just didn't have the proper skill set to play it. It worked at, you know, Hardaway High School, but I don't know if it would have worked at the college level, especially not big time college level. So I knew going in that I wanted to play, or that I would probably be moved to either receiver or safety.
I want to hear about how you got to Arkansas State. When was the first time that Arkansas State contacted you, and what was your first impression of Steve Roberts? Why did you want to come play for him?
So at that time, I think it may have been they started recruiting me my junior year, if I'm not mistaken. The first person I met from Arkansas State was Coach Kevin Peoples. I'm not sure if you guys remember him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So he was the one that actually came to my school, and that's who I established a relationship with. They came into one of my basketball games one time. I think what they were doing is, you know, trying to see the athleticism and see who I was as a person and how my teammates interacted with me and all of that stuff. So they came to a basketball game, and, you know, I was dunking and trying to show off my athleticism and stuff like that. So, but honestly, before that, like, I had never really heard of Arkansas State. Keep in mind that I'm from a small town, a country boy from Columbus, Georgia, and I'm the first one in my family to go to college and graduate college. And, you know, most of my family, we don't really leave Columbus, Georgia. So I hadn't been a lot of places. The furthest I had been, I think, was to Atlanta or Panama City, Florida, which me and my family went on a vacation like once a year. But outside of that, I hadn't heard of it. But they kept recruiting me. And my senior year comes around, and I didn't have a lot of offers. I was getting recruited by a lot of schools, but they weren't offering full scholarships. So it came down to like three or four schools for full scholarships. Arkansas State was one. Jacksonville State, Ball State, and Tulane were my four scholarship offers from bigger schools that I would want to play football at. I took a visit to Arkansas State, me and my mom, and it was a great visit. And I think another thing that really made me choose Arkansas State was that they had two great safeties there prior to me coming. One was Tyrell Johnson. The other was Kyam Burns. And I kind of established some sort of connection, a friendship with those guys. And I felt like they've laid out the blueprint. So my goal was to go to the NFL. And I was like, well, if they can do it, then, you know, I want to be the next in line to be able to do that. So that's how that went.
Says a lot when the first person you meet is Kevin Peoples, and you still come. I mean, you know, and I love Kevin Peoples, but dude, that's a hard-nosed football coach right there.
Yeah, he is, for sure. Something about him that I really like, and Coach Roberts, you know, once I came on campus and met him, I mean, you guys know Coach Roberts. He was a great guy, and he, you know, kind of said all the right things, and I kind of decided that, you know, this is the place I wanted to be.
You mentioned those other safeties that were here, and you're talking about two of the great safeties in the history of the program, and you're able to redshirt that first year in 2007 and kind of watch Tyrell work as a senior. How much did that help you, just kind of watching him that first year on campus?
I think it helped out a lot, because more than just football players, both of those guys, they were great men. You know, they were great character guys. You know, that's what I come from. And seeing that, I remember watching as a redshirt freshman, my redshirt year, they went out to play, I think it was University of Tennessee. Tyrell had got an interception. And I just remember thinking that this is who I want to be like, not just on the football field, but also, you know, as a man. Both of those guys carried themselves with integrity and a lot of class. You know, so that was something that I've always liked about those guys. And I think that was something that I picked up on during my visit there.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Kelsey McCray here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Kelsey, you got a chance to play as a redshirt freshman in 2008. You saw a good amount of action that year, but by the next season in 2009, you were a full-time starter. Had a team-high 4 interceptions that season, and you always seemed to be the guy that just had a knack for finding a way to get those picks. So what is it? What was the art of the interception for you?
Honestly, I think playing quarterback definitely helped when I began playing safety, because I had a little bit of knowledge of how the quarterback position was supposed to be played. So a lot of times with certain reads and things they were supposed to do and with quarterbacks, I kind of understood that as a safety. And that, I think that allowed me to, you know, get good breaks on the ball and kind of anticipate a little bit more. But I was talking to another buddy of mine not too long ago. My goal was just to make sure that I did my job. I just wanted to do my job. So if there was a tackle to be made, like, I wanted to make sure I made that tackle. If there was a play to be made, I wanted to make that play. So that was kind of how I went into every game, where it's like, if we are to lose this game, I'm not going to be the reason that we lost. So I think definitely playing quarterback played a big part in that.
You were part of a team that went through not your typical coaching change, in that they make the move to move on from Coach Roberts. And a lot of times you think, well, that's going to be now an entirely new staff. But then really, I think within the week, 4 or 5 days later, Coach Freeze is named the head coach. From a player's perspective, what was that, you know, that stretch of 4, 5, 6 days like?
It wasn't ideal, especially seeing as how we were, and when I say we, I mean me and the group of guys that I came into Arkansas State with, that entire class. We were upperclassmen at that point, and we knew that we wanted to make a run at a bowl game our last 2 years. So having the not knowing of who your head coach is going to be, you know, I think that doubt could have crept in a little bit. But once they named Coach Freeze as the coach, I think everybody in that entire locker room, like, immediately, you know, kind of bought in, because we were already familiar with him. We kind of knew offense more so than the defense, but we understood that he was already a part of this program. Honestly, I think if they, I don't know how it would have worked out now, but bringing someone completely new in, I think would have disrupted things. So, yeah, I think that was probably one of the best decisions that could have been made, at least for us at that time, was having him.
He told me one time, he being Coach Freeze, he said, look, we had good guys in place, good talent, good academics, good character. Literally the only thing we had to do with this team was make them think they could win. So what's the secret sauce there? Like, what was he able to do to just change the belief and take a team that won 4 games the year before and win 10 the next season?
Man, that's a very good question. I think there are some guys, or there are some coaches, they just have a way of making people, or getting guys to follow them, and a way of getting guys to believe in them. And I think that's a trait that Coach Freeze had. In the NFL, I played for some great coaches, specifically Coach Andy Reid and Pete Carroll. When I got to Seattle, Pete Carroll reminded me a lot of Coach Freeze in my college days there, because both of those guys, when they walked into a room and when they were in team meetings, they had a way of motivating their players and getting them to a point to where we as players felt like, okay, we'll do anything for this guy. We'll run through a brick wall for this guy. And I think that's what Coach Freeze did for us in that class that year.
Yeah, you go through the names just on that defense, you can make a case that 2011 defense, you know, we're honoring the 1975 team this weekend, and that defense was unbelievable. But that 2011 defense that you were part of is right up there with the great defenses in school history. And you look at some of the names: DeMario Davis, Nate Harold, Don Jones, Sterling Young, Keyshawn Lee, Brandon Joyner. And you were the leading tackler on that team. You also had 4 interceptions that year. But when you look at that group as a whole, that was as solid at every position as you could ever ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think that more so than just talent, I mean, all of those guys you named had unbelievable talent. I think one thing that kind of changed or shifted during my time there at A-State was the mindset of the players and the mentality of the players. When I got there my freshman year, those players that were there before me, like Ben Owens, and we spoke on Kyan Burns and Terrell, like those guys had a lot of talent. Reggie Arnold, like those guys had a lot of talent. I think it was just something different when my class came in. We were tight. We all kind of stuck together and we all kind of grew together and developed together. So by the time our junior and senior year came around, it was kind of like, this is the direction that we want the team to go. And we had enough guys that had bought into that. We kind of held ourselves accountable. And I think when you have that, that's when you get great teams. And I think that really kind of trickled down to those other guys under us, like Ryan Applin and Stock and all of those guys. So I think a lot of talent. Arkansas State has always had a lot of talent, but I think during those years was it all came together. And I hope I talked to DeMario about this. I feel like we kind of shifted the mindset there, because also I've been on losing teams in college and in the NFL. And when you lose a lot, there's a culture and there's a different mindset that losing teams have compared to winning teams. It's just how it works, you know. So, and I think that's kind of what was there at Arkansas State before things changed.
I'm going to get out of order because you just hit on something I wanted to specifically ask you about. And because if you look in today's game, and obviously, you know, as a player, you could make the case, you know, that the positives of NIL and guys being able to get paid for their what they do and their name, image, and likeness. But when you look at a situation where teams, and you know, Arkansas State's one where you're getting 60-70 new guys a year, how hard would that be compared to what you guys did? Even through a coaching change, you had a core group of guys that wanted to stay and see it happen. So like, how hard would that be to do today in the kind of in the NIL era?
That would be really tough. I actually had a conversation with Coach about this last year when I was up there, because going back to when me and my group of guys were freshmen, sophomores, juniors, I grew up, and like I said, I was the first person in my family to go to college, and we were really poor. If someone had came to me my senior year in college and said, hey, we'll give you, you wouldn't even have to give me a lot of money. You could give me whatever to come over here and play football. I think it's going to be hard to retain guys, especially coming from certain backgrounds or demographics like myself. I think it's just something that the coaches and the staff and the schools, I don't know the answer, but it has to be figured out some sort of way. Like, those guys got to figure it out. And that's not, you know, it's not, I'm glad that's not my job to be in there to try to figure out how to do that.
That 2011 team went on that incredible run. We mentioned the 10 wins. I thought it was interesting when we talked to Stock a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about that Western Kentucky game, and everybody kind of points to that game in 2011 as the turning point, because you won on the road, you found a way, and that was the start of conference play. But Stock was saying in the locker room, the guys really weren't that excited because Western Kentucky wasn't very good the year before. And you're like, well, we barely got by these guys. I mean, how good are we really? And of course, they won all their games the rest of the way and finished 7-1. But you finished 8-0 in conference play. And I thought it was interesting because he said, you know, we really didn't see it as that great of a win at the time. But looking back, that really was a big turning point for you.
Yeah, it was. That was probably one of the most important wins, if not the most important win that season. And I think that game was a lot of ups and downs in that game. But yeah, I agree with Stock 100%. I think we went into that game not really fully understanding the importance, maybe, but it worked out. I do know that everybody played hard. I remember Frampton making a big play down there towards the end. Yeah, that was a huge game for us.
Of course, you kept on winning. And I loved how you guys were playing. You steadily got better as that season went along. And I remember so well that day in Murfreesboro, that last road game where you're just able to beat the brakes off Middle Tennessee, a team that had really given you a hard time in previous seasons, especially in Murfreesboro. That had been a really tough place for the Red Wolves to win, but you're able to go there and win in the next to last game of the season. Then you finish up the season at home. You have the huge win over Troy. I'm sure that celebration after the Troy game, that's got to be up there among your favorite moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know you guys know this, but from when I got to Arkansas State, you know, Troy was, I don't know if we had ever beat them when I was there, but they would always be at the top of the conference. And they always had a good team. And it was always, we knew that Troy was going to be a tough team every year when I was at Arkansas State. So my senior year, being able to beat them and to kind of say, all right, we're the top dogs now, I think that felt better than anything. And also, Troy had a lot of guys that went to the NFL throughout those years when I was there, too. So I think that was kind of I'm not going to say a statement game, but I know guys like me, DeMario, Jeremy Gibson, Brandon Joyner, like we understood the amount of guys that they were putting in the NFL each year and all of that stuff. And we wanted to have a say in that as well. You know, so I think beating them that year was huge for us.
One of the things you guys got to experience that guys today won't is after that win at Middle Tennessee. And I say that guys now won't because just the bowl situation is so different and TV has so much to do on setting those bowl matchups, is that you guys win at Middle Tennessee, you go to the locker room and you get to get the phone call inviting you to a bowl game there in the locker room. What do you remember about that moment?
Man, it was, you guys are bringing back a lot of memories now. I haven't really spoke about a lot of this stuff in years. So now I think there is something very special about things coming to fruition. I vividly remember having conversations as a freshman in Arkansas Hall with the group of guys that was that, you know, that core group about, we're going to go to a bowl game. We're going to change the culture here. We're going to compete. We're going to do this. We're going to do that, you know, as freshmen. And every year was a step towards that. So the final game of the season, we went out, we did a lot of the things that we say we were going to do, win conference and then be invited to a bowl game. It's kind of surreal because it's like, I remember, you know, looking at DeMario like, yo, we actually talked about this 4 years ago. This is what all of the hard work is for. And I think that's what motivated us. I know I've mentioned this a lot of times throughout, you know, other platforms, but during the summertime, especially my junior and senior year, those summer trainings, those 6 a.m. workouts, that core group of guys, we really bought into that. So there was no complaining or, oh man, we got to get up or we got to run these hills or run these stadiums. It's like we leaned into that and we pushed each other. And it was all because we had the same common goal. We want to go, we want to win the conference. We want to go to a bowl game. So getting that call, it was a surreal moment.
Of course, you left Arkansas State after that 2011 season, went on to play several seasons in the NFL, spent time with the Dolphins, Bucks, Chiefs, Seahawks, the Bills. To be able to spend that much time in the NFL is pretty rare. I mean, the average life span of an NFL player is 3 years. You were able to go past that. When you look back on your accomplishments post Arkansas State, what are you most proud of?
Man, just the career that I've had. It's kind of the, you know, going back to the story of things coming to fruition. My dream since I was 6 years old was to play in the NFL. So when that became a reality, I was literally living my dream, and being able to do it for 5.5, 6 years, which is a lot longer than the average NFL player, mm-hmm. You know, it felt good. I think I was able to, kind of like at Arkansas State, when I first came into Arkansas State, I hadn't really played safety. I played quarterback. So it took a couple of years for me to figure out how to do this safety thing at the highest level, you know, but I think once I figured it out, I got it. Let's go. So once I got to the NFL, it was kind of the same thing. When I first got there in Miami, it was my first team. I really didn't know how to play special teams because I had never played special teams in college. And in the NFL, if you're not a starter, you have to play special teams. And if you want to stick around, you have to get good at it. So that was something that I learned my first year. I hadn't told this story to never in a public setting like this, but my rookie year in Miami, we were four games into the season, and the GM, Jeff Ireland, he called me into his office and he said, we're going to put you on practice squad because you don't play special teams, right? I wasn't starting on any special teams, but I was still on the 53-man roster as a backup. And he was like, you know, right now you're not playing special teams, so we're going to put you on the practice squad. And I remember that conversation. You know, I looked at him in his eyes and I said, you know, this is a conversation that we'll never have again. Because after that, I made the decision that if I want to stay in this league, I have to get good at special teams. So it was my goal to become one of the best special teams players on the team. And each team I went to, you know, I was able to be that, if not the best, one of the top guys for special teams on the roster. And I think that's why I was able to stick around for as long as I did.
Great story. Kelsey, it's been awesome to catch up and can't wait to see you Friday. Real quick before we get out of here, tell us what you're up to now. I know you've got your own business, and tell us about your family.
Yeah, so I'll start with my business. So I have a landscaping company here in Orlando, Florida, called Dependable Lawn Service. So if anybody's in the Orlando, Central Florida area, give us a call. And that's been okay, ups and downs, you know, entrepreneurship. There's a lot of things that come along with that. But my family, my wife is pregnant now. So she's due on December 14th. So we'll be having a son.
Congratulations.
Yeah, this will be my first son. And I also have an 8-year-old daughter. So my wife, my daughter, my mother-in-law, a couple of friends, they'll all be joining me this weekend up in Jonesboro to celebrate this moment and this accomplishment. So I'm super excited about it. Thank you guys for having me on. Whenever you guys just send me a text message and I can hop on and we can talk about football or whatever you guys want to discuss, I'm open. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk football. Red Wolves were on the road this past Saturday in the Sun Belt Conference opener, taking on ULM in the Rice Bowl. I guess before we get into the game, we'll talk about what we know or what we don't know about the Rice Bowl. I found out about it on Wednesday. I think Coach Jones found out about it on Thursday. And it was thrown together real quick.
I'm trying to look and see. I can tell you when it was for me. Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay, yeah. So it was all kind of in the middle of the week for us. USA Rice was the sponsor for it. Is that correct?
I think they were, the driving force there.
Just from the little knowledge I was able to accumulate about this whole thing, there used to be a Rice Bowl between Arkansas State and McNeese a long time ago, but that was a long, long time ago. They found a way to kind of revive the Rice Bowl, and I have no idea why it's taken so long to get to this point between the Red Wolves and Warhawks.
The realignment made it possible.
Could have been nice sometime during that 15-game win streak that we had over the Warhawks.
At least since 2001.
But we were told in the middle of the week this was now called the Rice Bowl and they would have a trophy. And hey, credit to ULM. They were able to get the win on Saturday, 28-16. We talked all week about getting off to a better start. The Red Wolves did that. They led 10-0 after one quarter. A great start right out of the gate, in fact. ULM on their opening possession, they throw an interception. Brandon Grile, our junior safety, able to take it back for a pick six. A 51-yard field goal by Clune Van Andel later in the first quarter puts you up 10-0. But, man, we just had a really hard time protecting Jalen Rayner. And any time it seemed we were moving the ball, we got knocked backwards by those negative plays. And when you get sacked seven times and give up 13 tackles for a loss, it's going to make for a long day. And ULM is able to take advantage, and they go on for the win.
The whole streak thing is funny because, and I even heard this, you know, listening to different stuff during the week and listening to media members that cover ULM. And, you know, the talk was, the interesting thing is that at Arkansas State, they didn't talk about the streak at all. And at ULM, they talk about it a bunch. And both of those things make sense, right? Because the players, you know, from an A-State standpoint, you're talking, you know, wildly different players. And there's enough pressure already without going, hey, guys, we've won this game 15 times in a row. So, I mean, you get why it never comes up. Now, Monroe, I also get why if they were hearing about it every day,
yeah,
I understand. You know, 15 times in a row, we've taken the field against these dudes and walked out on the wrong end every time. So I could see it being a big talking point down there. Their staff is doing a nice job. You could see they've got a lot of buy-in down there with what they've got happening right now.
It'll be good to be back home this weekend after back-to-back weeks on the road. The Red Wolves take on Texas State. Kickoff at 3 o'clock.
That's right.
Coming up on Saturday. It was set for 6 o'clock up until last week and got moved up 3 hours to accommodate ESPNU. But this is the final game of a 6-game stretch where we play 6 straight Saturdays to begin the year. This team really needs a bye week, but what would feel really good going into the bye week is a win over a really good Texas State team.
Yeah, what it needs a bye week and needs to win more. So it's going to be good to get back home. One last crack at these guys, right, before they head off to a different neighborhood. So
probably going to be the last matchup for a long time.
Yeah, you would think so. So hopefully that's the folks want to come in and still come in and make a little noise and get behind these guys.
We need them.
We got the 1975 team in the house. Coming up Saturday, and hey, a really good turnout for these guys. I mean, you're looking at counting some people just sort of attached to the team, but and the players. There's right at 40.
Wow,
going to be here this weekend
for a 50th anniversary. That's really
the batting average. This thing's really really high. Some of them will be at Hall of Honor Friday night. They'll have a tailgate party Saturday. Going to try to kind of work them in some kind of way to have them have a presence at Red Wolf Walk, which is at 12:45, so people remember that. And then have them down on the field at one point during the game. Hall of Honor class, you know, we talked with Kelsey. He's going to be on the field along with Rebecca Sargent and Rudy Sims and Coach Nutt. They'll all be down on the field at one point getting recognized too. So there's going to be some cool stuff happening Saturday at 3. By all accounts, I think the weather's going to be really nice, so let's have a little fun.
Soccer. They were on the road this past weekend. They fell at Marshall 3-0 on Saturday night. Now 2-3-4 on the season. Still looking for that first conference win. They'll host Texas State Thursday at 4 and then be on the road at South Alabama Sunday at 1.
Kind of one of the quirky things about the Sunbelt soccer schedule is that the typical playing days are Thursday, Sunday, but the conference kind of does the soccer schedule where
home and away?
Yeah, you play a home and away every week, which is kind of different, but I guess it's what they've gotten used to.
Men's golf, as we record this, is in Erie, Colorado. They're competing at the Mark Simpson Colorado Invitational.
The Bart Simpson?
Mark Simpson. Oh. It'd be cool, though, if there were a Bart Simpson Invitational. And then coming up this coming Monday and Tuesday, October 6th and 7th, it's the Bubba Barnett Intercollegiate at Ridgepoint. And I still am just really impressed how we continue to get teams to show up to this event to compete against our guys who seem to just dominate the competition every time we play this event. We'll see if we can keep whatever the streak is going.
Yep, keep it moving.
Women's golf, they're going to be at the Marilyn Smith Sunflower Invitational. That's in Lawrence, Kansas, Monday and Tuesday. How about the tennis team? Man, they're really playing well. They've got some momentum. They competed at the oldest tournament in the country over the weekend. They were at the Milwaukee Classic. And they came home with 15 victories over the three-day event, 5 doubles wins and 10 singles victories. Coach Lama and his team going to be in Tulsa this Friday and Saturday competing at the Tulsa Invite. Cross country, they'll be back in action this weekend at the Louisville Classic. That'll be held on Saturday. And that leads us to volleyball.
Yeah.
Great visit last week with Peyton Van Veen. Really enjoyed having her in as our guest. Talked about the great start they got off to against a really tough non-conference schedule. And they played what appears to be one of the better teams in the conference to begin Sunbelt play.
Apparently.
They were at Georgia State over the weekend. An impressive win Friday night. They came from behind to win that one in five sets and then lost on Saturday, so they had a split for the weekend. They're now 8-5 overall, 1-1 in conference play, and we talk about all the stuff that's going on this weekend. We've got Hall of Honor, we got football, but we also have volleyball.
Yep.
With their first two conference home games, Southern Miss will be in town Friday at 6, Saturday at noon at First National Bank Arena.
Yeah, plan. I think it's to, you know, hopefully everything's working toward dropping their Sun Belt championship banner probably before the match Friday night. It's their pink weekend. You know, put on your pink, and we've actually got a few pink shirts we'll give away during the course of the weekend. Also, going to do a thing where basically once Saturday rolls around, so the volleyball time also got moved once the football time did. So volleyball's now at noon with football at 3, and it's going to be a deal where a volleyball ticket will get you into football or vice versa. If you already got your football ticket, you can show it at First National Bank Arena and get into the volleyball match. You know, come check them out. I mean, really, they've played one match in the arena, one actual match against Mizzou.
Right.
So
played the other one at Valley View.
So, I mean, they're, you know, due a big crowd and a great atmosphere, which they certainly had the first time they were home. So hopefully we can do it again for them when they get home this weekend. I wish to heck they'd have been home last weekend. I think we really could have really blown that out, but I think we can this weekend too. So, you know, make your plans. If you're coming up for football or whatever, carve out a little time to catch some volleyball.
Fun episode. Really enjoyed talking with Kelsey McCray. That Hall of Honor banquet, something I look forward to every year. One of the best events that we have on campus.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to meet Rebecca Sargent, which I have not had the opportunity to do. But for me to get to see Rudy Sims, because I don't know if I've seen Rudy since she was done.
Yeah.
You know, and she's been in military service and been on the other side of the world for several years. So I can't wait to see Rudy Sims. You know, Coach Nutt's going to put on a show.
Can't wait to see him.
Kelsey, I mean, you got a little taste there of kind of what it'd be like to hear him get up and speak about his time at Arkansas State. So it's a great event. Tickets are still available. You know, hop online or go to redwolvesfoundation.com. You can find out how to still get your tickets to Hall of Honor. Like I said, it'll be some 75 team guys. Plus, when the Hall of Honor ends, kind of that space, the club level space is going to kind of be used as a meeting area, reception area for the 75 teams.
Great.
So, you'll see a lot of great names come rolling through there. Should be fun. A great weekend with soccer Thursday, volleyball Friday and Saturday, football Saturday afternoon. Where would you rather be than on the A-State campus?
We always thank you for joining us. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Kavanaugh Auto Group.